Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on, selector.
Rock and Roll Psychic Radio. My name is Andy Brewer. It's a very chilly day today. It's very chilly here in Northern California. And speaking of Northern California, I went even further north from Northern California. I want to welcome my co-hostess, DJ Dawn Miranda, who's not feeling so hot. I want to thank her for kind of rising from the sick bed to kind of hang. Dawn, darling, how are you? And how are you feeling?
Oh, a little bit better. I've been taking my medicine and stuff. I couldn't believe. Everybody knows it's been listening. I've been sick. I went to the doctor. The last thing I thought I would hear is that I had walking pneumonia and sinus infection at the same time. I was like,
wow.
No way. And so, yeah, anyway, I've been laying in bed, and he gave me 2 pints of cough syrup with codeine and all kinds of stuff. And so I've been, he's knocking me out generally, so I'll just sleep. So I've been doing that. A lot of sleep.
You don't think of cough syrup by the pint, so that can't be good.
Well, actually, I got it for free. I don't know how. I think he led me or something. I don't know.
I There you
and my
go.
Doctor's name was Dr. Shug.
Good to have that schmoozing power, Donna. That's awesome.
I don't know. It works.
So we actually going to have a couple of guests coming on later. One of them, the first guest we're going to have is C.J. Martis. And C.J. is really pretty cool. You like her. She has written books about Akashic Field Therapy, which is, you know, using the Akashic Records. And I've had her as guests in the past. She's very interesting, very intelligent. I think you're gonna vibe with her. And in the second hour, Lisa Beachy's coming back. And Lisa was on, actually, when Allie was on, Lisa called.
Well, that's right.
In.
We had a four-way thing going on.
Yeah, we had a four-way. You know,
we had a four-way. I heard of a three-way,
yeah.
But this is a four-way.
We had beans and cheese for that one. So we had everything on. We had everything on the chili dog that day.
Where
so
is my Allie?
Out.
Where is Allie? I want to touch my Allie. Where
is she? Allie's actually in Florida. She went to Florida, so she's down visiting, hanging out with Annie Miller and Carly Rose and Jill Dane.
I'm a brat.
So that's where Allie's at.
See how she is?
You know, I mean, she's a traveling girl.
I like her.
So Donna, I wanted you to tell people a little bit about what you do and how you do it. I think more people are maybe familiar with how I work, but if you don't mind, I'm going to kind of pick your brain a little bit. When you work with clients, when
mm-hmm.
people call them in, what is that process like for you? Typically, how do you approach it?
First of all, I just listen to their voice, and I want to see what's going on, their vibe, and, you know, the state of mind they're in, and where they're going, and, if they're frazzled, what's going on? I want to hear what's going on in their voice. And usually I can pick that up right away, obviously. And then I ask them their name, obviously, and the date of birth, and I ask them the reason of calling. And usually it's relationship problems. It's always almost relationship problems or career, but mostly relationships. And all my friends used to call me the love guru, and I said, no. He likes that one. That's a long story. I'll tell you someday, but not now. But anyway, what happens is when they call in, I ask them all those questions, and then I do ask them questions. You know, I ask, what's going on? You know, what's his name? What's his date of birth? You know, where are you in this relationship, right? What's going on? And then from there on, I jump in and take over. It's like, boom. And I pick up whatever I pick up, and then I just go, and I ramble. And I said, well, listen, you got to understand, I've never seen a tarot card in my life, and I've never done readings like that. So I just get images, and, you know, it pops into my head. So you have to be a little patient with me, but when I get them, I ramble. But it makes sense, so you just have to really listen to what I'm saying. And they all get it, and I've gotten really good feedback. In fact, you read some of my feedback, Andy, and I haven't seen it in months, and I haven't even looked at it, and I was amazed. One lady wrote, I think, almost a novel about me. Remember that lady? Did you see that?
I mean, that's beautiful. I mean, you know, it's funny because what you say about the voice, because I've done some radio shows where people write in, and I don't see it. In essence, I joke that I'm chat challenged. I barely read the chat board, especially if I'm doing readings. I don't have the brain capacity to do multiple things. But I also need their voice. For whatever reason, the voice is like my psychometry. I listen to the voice. And
absolutely.
It may only take 20, 30 seconds, but
mm-hmm.
I need to hear their voice.
Mm-hmm.
So when I don't hear their voice, I was like, wow. Okay,
I've had
now
some clients go, I want a reading. I'm like, okay, about what? I just want a reading. I'm like, you know, here's how this goes with me. And I go into the little spill about not doing tarot cards. You know, you need to talk to me just a little bit. Well, then you're not a psychic. Click, buzz, and I'm going, okay. You know what I mean? And, you know, you can't win everybody over. And, you know, if you can't. And I said, you know, and I've actually, it's just strange. Some people you can't get through to. You just can't. No matter what you say, they're going to contradict you. And it's like, okay, and you're not going to fight with the client, obviously. You're not going to do that. And so you just say, you know, okay, well, you know, maybe, and I have directed people to other psychics. I really have. To say maybe they see something different and maybe you need to talk to them. And they always come back to me and they said, well, you know what? They saw exactly what you saw. And I'm sorry for doubting you. And
well,
I do get apologies
a lot.
Funny
what you say about talking. Because I went and did an event in Michigan this summer. And I went up there, and they had everything pre-booked. I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, it was just like all day long for like 3 days. It was just nothing but people. They were already, you know, every hour there was somebody written in. That's the way life should be, right?
That's the way it's going to be this weekend, Andy. I need your help, really, with this pneumonia. I need you help. I really need you to read for me.
Well, I'm going to help you. But what happened was one of the people that came to me sat there kind of like a sphinx. I mean, she wouldn't move. She wouldn't talk. She wouldn't nod her head. You know, hey, how you doing? What do you want to talk about? She just looked at me. I mean, she wouldn't go, I don't want to say anything. I mean, she literally would sit there.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with this? So anyway, that was kind of how that worked. So we've got a couple of callers. One of them is CJ, and I want to check to see if the other one is Dave. So I'm going to go to area code 702 here real quick.
Area code 702 at? Do you know what state?
Well, no. Area code 702. Who are we speaking with, please?
Hi. My name is Sharmina.
Sharmina, hi. We're not taking readings right now, so if you want to just kind of hold tight for a little bit, we will get back around to it and I'll come back to you, okay?
We will do that.
Okay, cool.
We will do it later. Okay. Hang on, guys. Don't go anywhere, really.
So we're looking for somebody supposed to be on the show. Well, this is CJ right here.
Hi, CJ.
CJ, how are you?
I am doing fantastic, guys. How are you guys today?
We're okay.
I am good. And I was talking about you a little bit earlier, how much I enjoyed the show that we did together. And you know, it's really interesting. I want to kind of give a brief intro to the work that you're doing. C.J. Martis has written, you have a really interesting thing called Akashic Field Therapy that incorporates, used to be Akashic Records, true?
That is true.
Cash what? I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. Cash what?
Akashic Records. The Akashic Records when you're doing past lives.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. My ears are plugged up.
And CJ, do you want to kind of give a little background to some of the work that you're doing before we get started? Do you mind?
Sure. I'd love to do that. Akashic Field Therapy is based, certainly the Akashic Records is probably a term that people are a little more familiar with. But back in 2004, I read a book by a scientist and philosopher named Irvin Laszlo called Science in the Akashic Field. And it was such an intriguing subject for me, having been familiar with Edgar Cayce's work with the Akashic Record. It was very inspirational in trying to develop a method for people that would allow us to take a look at unresolved traumas that exist, these different experiences or traumatic experiences that were not resolved for a person so that they could move forward more quickly in their life. since then, we have found the method to be highly effective, very helpful in creating empowerment and growth very quickly, allowing people to at last resolve issues that affect them at a subconscious level primarily, with different, you know, those unresolved traumas create different types of negative belief systems, different types of behavior and defense mechanisms and so forth. So it's been an exciting field to be in because we're really, you know, now that we're about 5 years out from the original creation of the method, we're seeing just tremendous results, and we continue to incorporate what we learn as we go, myself and other people that I've trained to be practitioners of this.
I mean, it's really fascinating. And when you do the diagnosis for people, when they first, how do you assess where they're at?
I'm losing you.
When someone comes to you initially, what do you do to try to get a sense of where they are and what the current state is?
Well, the method is actually very specific in what it pulls for a person, which sessions, excuse me, I think I'm a little plugged up today, too. based on a person's name and birth date, various charts, which are not like astrological charts, they're more like tables of different types of patterns, are doused using a pendulum. To create a profile that we call a life program. And what that essentially is here's the unresolved trauma. This is the intensity at which it's expressed in your life. Here's the core fear that was created, the core belief system, and then there's a whole lot of secondary charts that help to kind of fill in that picture of that experience.
I mean, that's the fascinating part, and that's what I wanted to get to, is the way that you do these charts. I mean, I think that that is pretty interesting. And so when you look at that, I mean, I guess all of us at some point when we're doing work with clients on whatever level it is, whether we're astrologer, clairvoyant, or whatever, we're initially trying to get some sort of sense of who they are in order to know which direction to take that particular session. There's a whole host of information that we can draw from, but we have to be somewhat finite and say, okay, for right now, this is what I think is really the most important thing. This is the direction we're going to go right now. I mean, that's a value judgment that we all make right at the, you know, that point in time. When you look at these charts, initially, again, I'm trying to get a sense from your methodology, what is it that you're trying to get to know go with the client?
Well, first of all, I'd answer the question by saying, you know, everybody obviously comes with their own set of issues, what I call their, you know, the symptoms in their life, like you said, whether they go to see a clairvoyant or, you know, whatever type of practitioner or healer that they are consulting, trying to get some understanding of what's going on. So the person comes with those various symptoms, which is how we consciously know things aren't working, I'm not moving forward, I keep having the same relationship over and over again. One particular person, there could be, you know, not to be undaunting, but, you know, there could be hundreds of unresolved traumatic issues. However, a session looks at five of those if it's a full session, and it's based on the priority for that person. So it tunes into higher self and going, okay, what do I need to know? You know, what do they most need to know right now?
And so do you, is that a standard five, or is it something, a five that's specific to that individual at that point in time?
The five is specific to the individual always. What we've found is that the method is so powerful, requires once the information's been shared and they go through the process, you know, a time of integration, because they begin to see those unconscious things revealed to them in their daily life experiences. So there's a process there. If we did more, it would be just too much for a person to really integrate well. So we limit it to five. However, we do work with people, say they have a specific question, just need a little bit of information, we can just pull one life program. And then we have a short session, which is three, and then a full, which is five. So people can kind of plug into the method depending on what they're looking for.
Now, I mean, the thing that may come to a lot of people's minds is when they hear Akashic Field Therapy, they're probably thinking Akashic, something like I would pass life looking. That's not what you do, though, is it?
It really isn't what we focus on. Certainly there's an
right
element at play with past lives or things that are lessons that, you know, we've created a traumatic experience that we may be dragging forward. Because what you have to understand about whether you call it the Akashic Record or Akashic Field, as I do, because it is a quantum information field, you know, we are pulling in not only from the collective of everyone, but certainly then the paths that we've taken as we come into lifetimes. What is essentially very much the focus of Akashic Field Therapy is, you know, I think it's interesting what we were in a past life, and I find that information valuable to a certain point.
However, I'm losing part of what you're saying. Donna, can you hear, or am I the only one that's having this issue?
Pardon me?
Can you hear, well, I tend to be losing part of what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like in and out. I don't know if it's my phone or what's going on here. I don't know. But, you know, so I hear in and out, but she's amazing so far what I hear.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Okay. If that continues to be an issue, I'll call from a different phone because I may be on my end.
I think it is a little bit on your end, but I want to go back and focus on the way that, again, the connection in people's minds, just so that there's a clarity. When you're talking about Akashic Field Therapy, it's different than someone that might come to me on one level and say, tell me my past lives. you've got a little bit different wrinkle, and I think that different wrinkle is very intriguing. And I want to make sure that everyone understands what's specific and unique about the way that you approach it.
I think that's an excellent question. That's why we had so much fun last time when we were on. What essentially in all of my training and all of my background, the focus of Akashic Field Therapy is, though it is certainly has a past life element to it, because 90% of those life programs actually are originated in a past life experience. But when we are looking at those unresolved trauma, we want to deal more with what's going on now, the now moment. You see, like Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, and what we want to look at are what's going on now, though we're looking at past stuff, but then we also want to open up what we also identify, which are those future growth potentials in the Akashic field that a person could go deeper with. So we not only look at what has happened in the past, we look at what is affecting them now, and then also what they're drawing to them as far as those positive experiences, if we can get this other stuff kind of out of the way.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, I apologize.
I'm sorry.
It is possible to maybe try to come in on a different phone.
Okay, let me call you right back. I apologize.
I want to ask you a question. I'm amazed by this.
Are still going to call 816 Area Code?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'll see you in a second.
I want to ask her a question when she comes back. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course. It's very interesting. I think I really enjoy talking to her. And, you know, I can't hear a thunder anymore. I mean, that's one of the bad things about me doing radio anymore is I no longer can really hear. But I'm having a hard time with that particular phone. So we are going to wait a second.
She'll be right back.
But the thing that's kind of fascinating is she, in terms of... Yeah, let's try this.
Okay.
She seems really down to earth. I really like her. Oops, she heard me.
I did.
This is
it was all good. That was all good.
Sounds good.
So I have a question.
So I do. Let's circle back around. Oh, my gosh.
My question. Okay, go ahead. You go.
Let's circle back around here.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Are you on?
Andy, now we lost you. Now can I ask you a question?
Here.
Oops. Andy. Now I can ask you a question.
Can you hear me?
But, oops.
I'm going to call back, and now I'm all out of whack.
I can hear him.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you both.
Okay. I have a question for you since he's gone.
Sure.
I was in a really, really bad car accident and almost died. That was in, like, in 1988. And I have a really big thing about driving now. I hate to drive. What would you do with me? How would you get me out of that? I mean, I do drive, but I don't like it. I mean, how would you get me out of that fear of driving?
Let's try this and see. Now can everybody hear me?
Yep. We can hear you.
I can hear you.
Put the question in.
All right. So let's try again. So, CJ, getting back to kind of the quantum base of what you're doing. And, I'm confused by my life, okay? And I'm looking at answers. How can you help me? What is it that this will do for me? Because I think it's cool, but I'm just kind of throwing that out as, you know, devil's advocate. How does this help me?
There's two ways that the method really operates. The most important initial benefit that you get if you come to a session and work with myself or another practitioner is you get very clear about what has brought you to this point, very specific about what it is that you're carrying around that's getting in your way. And then you're given tools with which to make conscious changes to the way that as life comes at you that you make, you know, different choices. And also to release, you know, defensive things that block energy and growth in your everyday life.
So when you see blocks to energy, what do you think those are? I mean, how do you identify them, and what's your theory as to what those blocks really are?
Well, as most people know, you know, we all have two different aspects of energy that are operating our life. We have the radiant aspect of what is expressing from us at a deep spiritual level. We have that returning aspect, which comes back to us. People could consider that karma, but that's a whole other discussion. And often what is happening is what we're radiating out is based on what's going on subconsciously that we aren't aware of, right? So if we consciously, okay, I have this goal, I want to do this, this is what I'd like to create in my life, you know, because we all hear about manifesting our reality, we hear about all these things. What we're doing is shooting ourselves in the foot a lot of times because we don't know what is buried. And so for a person that's participating in this therapy, it's like suddenly it gets illuminated and very clear about what it is. And that conscious understanding of what a person is dealing with, that's where all of our power is. In that now moment, the conscious, this is what's going on. And what it does is it opens up this perception level for a person much wider than it is when it's contracted or narrowed by, you know, fear, things that, you know, that are coming up for us or triggered for us on a daily, you know, on a daily basis.
And so when you think of it from a karmic standpoint, because this question has to come up to you, what do you think that means? I mean, people ask me, what's karma? You know, if I did something in a past life, is it going to come back, you know, pay for it? How do you handle those questions if they come to you? Because I would assume they have to come to you at some point. When they hear Akashic and you mention past lives, somebody has to say, well, what's my karma and what is that? How do you answer that?
Also a great question. You know, I think that we have a little bit of a misunderstanding if we look at karma in a certain way. You know, everyone's like, well, I must have done something in past life because something bad is happening to me right now. And I don't necessarily, with all the work that I've done, agree with that, you know, kind of this for that type of thing. But what happens when we have a traumatic experience, which ultimately, obviously, there is always a silver lining in all of our experiences, something we can understand about ourselves or use for growth. It doesn't necessarily lessen the trauma we experience at the time. What will happen, though, if we don't finish those experiences, come to that peak moment or peak experience of the aha, the understanding, that integration doesn't happen. So what becomes our karma, or what I call like the chains that are around your neck or the albatross around your neck, are the collimation of all of these things, you know, as we're carrying them in from lifetime to lifetime. Mm. And so untangling those, which is what I call an Akashic entanglement, it's a loop basically created from a past experience that continues to play out, traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're going, you know, throughout our life, the fear gets generated subconsciously because, well, one, the subconscious mind by its very nature it averages and sort of lumps everything together. But as those entanglements arise out of the Akashic field, those kind of emotional loops, it's like we're, you know how when people tell, you know, it's like we're all living in the past, and it's kind of true because what's with our inherent connection, which I believe is actually right down to the DNA level, we're having this hyper-communication go on with ourselves, but it's all very subconscious because if you think of the vast amount of experiences that exist in the Akasha, all of that is just, it's an overwhelming amount of data or information.
I used to joke around that I used to be Till the Hun in the past life because all the karma things that have come back to me. And it was like, no. I mean, it was just a joke, but sometimes I really wonder. Till of the Hun, yes, that's me. I mean, no, really wasn't, but, you know, it feels like that sometimes, you know?
Well, and it can, because if you have a tremendous number of Akashic entanglements, these loops that I'm talking about, that the subconscious is inherently paying attention to more than anything else, It can make life so difficult for a person to break out of. We feel like somebody must be punishing us. We get into suffering. You know, it's inherent. If you do any, you know, Buddhist, you know, I study a lot of different paths, but, you know, Buddhism, you know, has a lot of chief ideas, I think, that are very helpful as far as liberating ourselves from a cycle of suffering. Well, what's interesting is that this cycle of suffering is not only inherent to the collective, but it's also true for the individual person at that level of the Akashic field.
When you talk about entanglements, it's a term that's also very common in quantum theory.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you have a kind of a quantum base. When you talk about entanglements, are you using it in that kind of quantum physics kind of way? Do you know what I mean by that? Are they connected in your thinking? Maybe a lot of people don't know what we're talking about, but I mean, there is a term in quantum mechanics, you know, I don't know if it's Einstein or Schrodinger or somebody had this thing about entanglements and spooky action at distance where things are connected. In essence, they're like two places at the same time, but there's a reciprocity between their energies that doesn't make sense to the eyeball.
Right.
Is that logic... And that's kind of a bad way to explain it. But is that logic and that sort of quanta energy there related to why you use that term entanglement? I'm just curious.
Yeah, there is a direct correlation. When I was looking at my research and all of that we've learned, it came to me that it was very much like that at a quantum level because if we're in the now moment, if we've resolved these things and all of our energy is very present in the now, we're not mired in these types of entanglement scenarios because to the subconscious mind, it didn't matter what time, place, year, era, you know, that you're dealing with, the trauma still is essentially, in a purest sort of way, it's a traumatic experience that's not resolved. And so as we're triggered, these connection points just sort of flare up and all we do is, at a subconscious level, is completely pay attention to these echoes, which takes us away from any new experiences we could, you know, manifest from that field in a positive sense. So it is very similar, yes. And I couldn't find another term for it that I thought fit as well as that did. It's like
you're impressed that I have my little, you know, kindergarten background in quantum mechanics now. I know.
I love it.
Yeah, really. Bunchy busy.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is the benefit of what you do is you help people open up to new experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think in a nutshell, that's kind of what you're doing.
Absolutely. And with awareness of what the entanglement is, there's an inherent system for us, our energetic body at a quantum level. There's a way that the system can reset itself and the entanglement is no longer there.
And Donna, what do you think of all this?
I think it's fascinating. I think it's wonderful. And I want a session with her. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I really do. I'd love to have a session with her. I would.
Yeah, I think what you do is really very interesting. And the way that I became familiar with your work was I actually saw your book, and it kind of jumped off the a friend of mine's apartment, and it just kind of jumped off the shelf to me. I mean, not literally jumped off the shelf, but I saw it, and go, this book looks really fascinating. And that's how I tracked you down from finding your book. You have a new book, though, that's coming out. Has that already been released?
It has not been released. I actually finally have somebody that's assisting me. I've had so many different projects. I have 4 kids and a full family life as well, but I'm real excited because I've got somebody who's really going to help me get some of these things finally, you know, finished up. The new book is called Akashic Consciousness, Claiming the Cosmos. It is about that whole process we've been talking about. And how that really points the way toward liberation for everyone. You know, not only understanding how the field operates in our daily life, how we can release these entanglements. There are some case studies of some pretty incredible healing that's happened from the method, certainly, and also where I believe that we're going, you know. And so this really is like the culmination of the last 5 years. So I'm hoping that I can get that wrapped up by you know, the end of summer, realistically.
Okay,
but
cool. And let people know how they can find you on the internet or wherever they can find you, if you don't mind. Give them your contact info, please.
Sure. My website is cjmartes.com. It's MARTES.com. I'm also on Facebook. I have a group called Akashic Field something. And I just lost it. It's gone.
Yeah, that's just not good.
That's
not good, darling. When you don't know the name of your group, they frown on that. But we're not gonna tell.
Leave her alone, Andy.
Oh, okay. I got it. Adventurers in the Akashic Field. Isn't that nice?
There we
I do host a number of informational, also question-oriented, free conference calls. And if they go to Facebook and find me, then they can go to my website, and all those things are listed there. Or if they're interested in learning more about me, listening to previous interviews, things like that. So.
And Dawn, I'm going to send CJ's stuff to you so you two can be pals on Facebook.
I'd love that.
Yay.
I would love to talk to you, CJ. I really would. There's some things that I need to clear up, right, Andy?
But Dawn, when you listen to CJ, I mean, I got my own questions. What kind of pops in your head that you're curious about in terms of the way she works?
Well, you know, I kind of want to know, okay, what I'm getting is that she's helping people move on from what happened in their past life that's carrying on to this life, you know what I mean? And so she's trying to get rid of all that crap, excuse my language, so they can move, people can move on and move forward and have a better life. Am I right? Am I wrong? Yes? No? Maybe?
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's a lot of things that have happened in my life, and Andy knows most of them. You do, Andy. We've had a lot of talks. And there's a particular one thing, and Andy couldn't even handle listening to it, but there's one thing that I really need to get over, and I'm stuck there, and I want to get out of it. I have to get out of it to move on. I really do. I want to write a book. There's things that, you know, I want to do, but I feel like I'm stuck on stupid. You know what I mean? It's like, duh. You know, you can't move forward. I can't move forward right now.
Me. Anytime any of us say we can't move forward, we all know this, that there's an element where we're...
No, the word can't.
You own your limits to some extent, but there's also what CJ's saying is certainly what I say in the work that I do, that there's a reason that you own those limits. So
right.
So part of it is kind of getting an insight into why you not only have the limit, but why you attach to it. CJ, would you agree with that theory?
I would. And, you know, the more, and what, you know, what typically happens when we have, whether it be a physical or emotional, you know, like a really intense traumatic experience that takes a long time to heal, it's very heavy, and all of this, that creates such a very narrowed view that it's very difficult. You know, it's like we're not only owning it, but we're in a box with it. And that's a very unfortunate experience. I've seen that with myself in the past, with, you know, and we essentially, at our inherent level of who we are, there are no limits, only those that are created in our mind. And so not only in resolving that so people can move forward, I'm essentially, and I'm a purist that way, let's all be very liberated and free and happy. And so I'm a cut-to-the-chase woman, too. I've been in traditional therapy. I've done those roads. It takes a long time to get to what we're after. There's nothing wrong with that process. But a lot of people, that causes them even to overthink things and so forth. So I was like, okay, if all of this information is available to us, how do we get it out of the Akashic field, which we've done successfully? How do we do it in a way that is meaningful for a person to not only go, oh, that's nice, but also, you know what I mean, to really own, okay, that's what I'm dealing with. That answers the why things have been they have.
What's wrong with me? Have you done that? I kind of feel like she's kind of tapped into what's going, what happened. Did you? No. Hmm?
Well, I mean, I think she has a very specific way that she gets information, I think.
Okay. I just had a feeling that she kind of tapped into what was going on there. I kind of had the feeling there, but maybe not.
Well, I think that I am. I'm very, very, I've been intuitive, very clairvoyant, and very connected to a lot of things. It was important for me, though, that people could learn to use the method, not only to be practitioners, but for themselves without feeling like they were, I think everyone's intuitive, but that they didn't, you know, have to, like they were very intuitive to you know, participate in the therapy or do the therapy themselves and so forth. But often, I don't understand about like an experience now, which I know that you mentioned to me, you know, you'd been in a bad car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Typically what happens is it's like consciously, you know, all the fears, yes, you know, consciously the fears that get created out of a terrible experience like that. My husband almost died 5 years ago from a car accident. So
yeah,
I personally witnessed.
I wasn't even driving.
Yeah. And what happens is that essentially those other entanglements from other experiences,
mm-hmm,
get sort of triggered as well. So you're not only trying to heal something that you know happened, you've also got other entanglements that get kicked up that are similar, that, you know, maybe from way, way back.
Yeah, I agree.
And so
that,
I think it actually slows the process of healing. And we wonder why, you know, and then we get irrational fears and stuff. And so the trauma really stacks, which sucks.
It does. I mean, I was in a wheelchair for 2 years, and they told me I'd never walk again. And I said, you know what, you don't know me at all. And I went to this church, it sounds crazy. And anyway, they were going to lay hands on me, right? I'm like, yeah, right. You know, this is what I'm thinking. And so anyway, they had me like leaning up against a tree. And they put their hands, everybody put their hands on me, they're praying and stuff. And all of a sudden I feel like electricity. I'm not kidding you. Go from my hip all the way out. I mean, like out of my foot. And guess what? I got up and I'm not kidding you. I walked. It was the most bizarre thing. I walked into the doctor's office. He says, what did you do? What happened? And I told him, he says, no way. He goes, I can't even believe you're standing up, let alone walking. I mean, he was amazed. So was I.
A lot of that is also in your intention, I think. You know, I broke my elbow when I was 30, and I was kind of a little athlete, and, you know, had an identity as an athlete. And they told me, you know, that there were certain things I was never going to be able to do again. I was never going to be able to play sports. And I said, you know, just watch. And it made it complicated. And for me, as a basketball player, you know, you get into a certain rhythm as a basketball player, and you have a visual. Your eyeballs are connected. And so later, I mean, it took me about a year. I started playing basketball again, and I noticed that every time I shot, everything was short. I go, well, this just sucks. What is this? And then I realized that my arm was shorter, so I had to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
True, I had to adjust the point I looked at. All I had to do was just change what I looked at. It's a very narrow change visually, and then my body adjusted to the visual point, and then I could start. Then I was able to play again. But there was not only the physical thing that happened to me. I had to adjust my mental capacity to kind of incorporate it, and then I kind of recalibrate it, and then it sort of still worked again. But, you know,
absolutely,
you
know,
not gonna
I'm sorry, I mean, but you know, when I had the car accident, I was teaching advanced step aerobics in like two or three different gyms, and plus, I mean, I worked out like probably 6 to 8 hours a day, and plus I was a private trainer when this all happened. I was managing bars at Conocta. They used to have a very good venue down, I mean, you name it, Doobie Brothers, you know, everybody played there. And assistant manager, all the bars. I was going to school. I wrote for the paper. You know what I mean? I didn't sit down long enough to say boo, you know. And when this happened, it was like my whole life stopped. It was like, whoa. You know what I mean? It did. It was crazy. I tried to go back to school. I couldn't even think. And I was a 3.9 GPA student.
Well, I mean, the same things happen. I'm sure CJ's seen this a million times. Of course, with me, when my daughter died, I mean, that was very much a traumatic experience. And you could say that most of my life in the past 4 years has been post-traumatic stress, and I am somewhat phobic about going back and being a corporate analyst again. Much would love them to mail me those checks. Oh, my God. I mean, I was making over $6,000 a week. I would just send me one of them. You don't have to send them every week. It would be good. But, you know, there is an element where you, what happens, I think, with people, and I think you also have this as a reader. I always say, you know, you read from where you are. It's very difficult to stuff that's reminiscent of something in your world from seeping into what you do. And when you have these traumas, it does make associations that, again, I think entanglement is a good way of looking at it. These kind of add a level of complexity, kind of muck it up a little bit. And it's tough to sort those things out, what's valid and what's just kind of accrued to it, you know, kind of clinged on to it.
Well, and if I may interject, you know, it's for each individual person, how, because we're talking a lot about physical trauma right now. We have that direct kind of PTSD smack, you know, from whatever has happened to us physically, or it can be that it's somebody in your life that it's happened to. And so that's what we're very much focused on consciously, certainly, is that layer. But then you start going under, okay, you've got issues with self-worth if I'm not productive or I can't do what I used to do. And the ego identifies with all of those ways that we define who we are. It perceives the world through those definitions. And so it does. It gets all mixed up. So you've got the nervous system that is in shock from that experience. You've got all of these other things that are going on subconsciously. And so it can be very difficult to untangle all of that, or a very long process. Or we can just find that we get healed to a certain point, and even if we're up walking around again, we're still dealing with the other stuff. So I wanted to find a way to identify what got triggered, what's under the surface. Because once, you know, how many times do you go, if I just knew why that happened that way, then I'd be good. Because, you know, we're human beings. We want to know why, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We want to understand.
And I won't answer yes and no questions. People, I frustrate them sometimes. They'll go,
no kidding.
This is going to happen. Is this going to be yes or no? And I go, well, let's stop for a half an hour and look at it and figure out why this happened. You know, so I want to know the behind the scenes National Enquirer version of it. And I don't want to just, because I can make predictions, but I want to kind of have the storyline behind it, because I think that's more empowering. And it's more complicated to draw that out and get that narrative behind it.
Well, for me as a healer, I have predicted things throughout my career with dizzying accuracy, as I know that you have too. But there's a limit overall impact of doing that kind of work, and I frustrate people too. But if I see something and I get a big hit, I got to say that I'm going to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to put the tools in the hand of the person to be empowered to create that opportunity for healing, for liberation, to move forward, to be happy, all of those things. If I sit there and you come to me and I go yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, they're not thinking. You know, they're not processing or understanding what's going on. And I definitely agree with you. I just think it's wonderful, and I know a lot of people seek out that kind of help. But ultimately, if we're not willing to do our own work, then we're really not going to get anywhere.
Right. I mean, that cycle is going to keep repeating. I think in order to, if something's in your life and it's a cycle, I want to look at why that cycle's there and what put it there and how you could eradicate it and get rid of it, rather than go, okay, I can just keep to myself, this is what's going to happen. It's easy. Lots of times it really is easy to figure out what's going to happen, but I don't think that's the most helpful. If someone wanted to learn how to do your system as a practitioner,
mm-hmm.
how would they go about doing that?
Well, there's myself training and an advanced Akashic Field Therapy practitioner named Valerie Elser out on the West Coast. She just had a new baby. I'm busy trying to wrap up projects, so what we've decided to do for at least the next several months, is to do one-on-one training for level one and level two. Level one is where you learn how to identify a life program for yourself. It's the very base part of the method. You can learn that, and you have a tool for life. If you really want to do that and you want to share it with others, level two is more about the community aspect of sharing that tool in tandem. And then we have our very first certification level coming up in September. So it's actually a unique opportunity for people to learn to use the method one-on-one rather than have to travel somewhere that I might happen to be or Val might happen to be.
I'd love to do that. I would.
And I have 2 to 3 active students on whatever particular level, at a time. But the instruction is personalized to that individual. And I like it actually better because I like to create a foundation, and have time to do that, which is difficult in a 2 or 3 day training with a big group of people.
Yeah.
Though I think I'll begin to do that.
Class, stuff like that, where it's just a big train, and it's kind of chaos.
Yeah, it can be. It can be. So I like, I love the fact, if anybody out there is interested in learning it, it's a good time if you want one-on-one instruction, because it's not always going to be, it's not always going to be available, but it is right now. And it's a wonder, anybody who's learned the self-care tool, there hasn't been a single person that's like, I just can't do this, or gets blocked and can't find the information from the charts. And I think it's a great tool. You can ask a question and get an answer. Very specific. It's like getting a printout, though. I think the computer program for this is a little ways out yet. Once I find the right programmer, we could actually achieve it, I think. But
yeah, I mean, it's always hairy to define what the parameters are, this leads to this, leads to this.
When did your certification classes start?
We are September 17th, 18th, and 19th in Sedona.
Oh, okay. Ooh, I want to go there so bad. I was talking to my mom trying to get her to move there.
Sedona?
Sedona, yeah.
No, I've never been there. I know that sounds terrible. I'm supposed to be all new agey. I've never been to Sedona. I was supposed to go do an infomercial there, and I backed out of it a long time ago.
Just be spiritual and beautiful, and I want to go.
1993, I actually derailed that. I'd done one, and I didn't want to do the second one. And they did it the first one in L.A., and they were going to do the second one in Sedona, and I've never been there.
I haven't either.
Really? My girlfriend goes there once a year. Actually, goes twice a year, and she takes her grandkids, and then she goes to ghost towns on tours and stuff. And she goes, "It's great, you gotta go." And she tells me all about it. I'm like, "I want to go live there." She says it's just amazing. I want to go.
I'm actually supposed to go to Arizona next month to Bisbee towards the end of June and do this ghost thing. So that should be kind of fun. But Sedona, and I've never been there, so it should be beautiful. And you're doing that in September?
Yes, sir. And so there'll be practitioners who've taken level one and level two from all over the country who want to get actually certified by the Akashic Field Therapy Institute to be certified practitioners. They're going to come from California, East Coast, all over.
Cool. And CJ, where are you? Where do you live?
I actually live in Kansas City, but early next year, we're buying property because we want to grow our own food and all that good stuff in New Mexico.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I went to college in Lawrence for a while. The coldest place in America, Lawrence, Kansas, from what I remember.
That's true.
I went to Kansas City in the summer, and I remember it as being the hottest place in America, too. So there's definitely an extreme. I mean, I'm from Ohio, but I just read about living in Kansas the other day. You're probably in Missouri, though, right?
I am on the Missouri side, yeah. And thank you for realizing there's a difference.
Beautiful city. Kansas City really is a beautiful city. I think it's one of the really prettiest cities around.
I have enjoyed living here for the last 20 years with the approach of 2012 with things that are happening vibrationally. I'm out of here just because I want to. I've located the area. vibrationally supporting, you know, this new energy that we're moving into, going back to the earth. And we actually have a whole group of people that are going with us.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. I'm sure a lot of people will be interested in finding out about that. We're just about out of time. One more time, and I want to thank you again for coming and hanging out with the two of us. And
thank
you. If you don't mind, let people know once again how they can find you on the internet and your, the name of your group and everything. And Dawn, I'll send CJ to you later. So you
can that'd be great.
Emails.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to her. Yes. Thank you, Andy.
It's cjmartis.com, MARTES.com. I am CJ Martis on Facebook. We have a Facebook group called Adventures in the Akashic Field. I have a newsletter if you're interested in staying updated on my main website. And there's an 800 number listed. You can always call my office. But I'm pretty much in email 24/7, so.
I know that feeling. I email all day long, huh, Andy?
Except for my unplug days. I do consciously unplug.
That's good. It's good to kind of have the unplug thing. So I want to thank you very much for taking the time to kind of hang with us. We're going to play one song, take a little break, and then we're going to have Lisa Peachy for the second hour. And it's always good to talk to you. I always enjoy talking to you.
I enjoy talking to you as well. I learned a lot from her. I learned a lot from you. I really did.
Well, that is. Thank you. Thank you.
You're an intelligent woman. I would like to really hook up with you and talk to you about a few things. Really, I would.
Well, do contact me so we can see what I might be able to do to help you.
I think you would. If anybody out there could do it, I think it would be you. I really do. God sent you to me, thank God. Really, literally. I mean, I'm glad that you... Really, thank you.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate it.
So everybody, hang tight. We'll be back in about 2 or 3 minutes. And we'll have Lisa Beachy on for the second hour. So, again, CJ, thank you very much. And
bye,
I'm
CJ.
Sure
thank
talking.
You.
Have a beautiful day.
You too. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Somebody tell me, answer if you can. Want somebody to tell me, what is the soul of a man? I'm going to ask the question, answer if you can. If anybody here can tell me, what is the soul of a man? I've traveled in different countries, I've traveled in foreign lands, I've found nobody to tell me, what about the soul of a man? I saw a crowd stand talking, I came up right on time, where Harry and the liar and the doctor say a man ain't nothing but his mind. I want somebody to tell me, answer if you can. I want somebody to tell me, what is the soul of a man? I read the Bible often, I try to read it right. But a fire in his life. I want somebody to tell me, answer if you can. I want somebody to tell me, what is the soul of a man? tell me what is the soul of man? Somebody tell me, answer if you can. I want somebody to tell me what is the soul of a man.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to the second hour of Rock and Roll Psychic Radio. My name is Andy Brewer. That was the late Ramblin' Jack Elliott. And I'm here with my co-host, DJ Don Miranda. And I want to welcome our special guest for the second hour, advanced theta healer and psychic out of Los Angeles, Ms. Lisa Beachy. Lisa, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you doing?
It's good. It's always good to hear you again.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Dawn.
Donna. Hi.
Donna, sorry. How are you doing?
Okay. I'm trying to hang in there, but you know they gave me, I'm not kidding you, a pint of codeine, and I don't know what kind of cough syrup, so it's all good.
It explains a lot of Donna's behavior. It's all good. So Lisa, I want to kind of jump in with you. Advanced theta healer.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? I kind of have an idea because I've been with other theta healers, but I want to hear from you. What does that mean?
Well, you know, it was actually kind of cool to take the course because it's offered by Vianna Stiebel out in Idaho. It's where you connect up in with Creator and you pull the energy down and you're in a theta brainwave and you're asking Creator, and we're witnessing the healing is what's happening. We're asking the Creator to perform the healing, and we're witnessing and we actually find out what beliefs may be holding the client back, whether it's genetic, which is passed down through the DNA, or if it's historic, which could be a past life issue that maybe they have a belief anchored in a past life that we can clear for them. And, or, you know, in this lifetime, we, you know, in a split second, you can come up with the craziest beliefs. Your mind thinks it's keeping you safe, but what happens is sometimes it gets a little warped. So we carry those beliefs with us, and it affects our lives. It can affect abundance. It can actually physically manifest. Like a lot of times we'll have a good example is like we'll twist our ankle or we'll have, you know, ankle issues. A lot of times our mind thinks that that's helping us, you know, from moving forward because we have a fear there. So it could be something that we learned that's being triggered when we were little. So with theta healing, I like to kind of think of it like therapy a little bit, like, you know, a lot of psychiatrists go back in the past and you kind of, you know, corner in on where the belief is, and then you ask the Creator to heal it, and we kind of witness that healing, and a lot of times it results in instant healing. It can result in just amazing behavioral healings where people don't know why they react that they do, you know, ways that they do. And once you clear that belief and you ask the Creator to download a positive belief to, you know, counterbalance that, it can change your life. And
I mean,
it's
a software upgrade in one sense.
Exactly. You know, it's what I do when I do my groups. I do an amazing, and I just love it. It's one of my favorite groups, a manifesting group once a month. And what we do is we're clearing the old software because over time we kind of get adware, shareware viruses as we kind of like plug along. Our brain is like a computer. And then I always say that we're clearing it and we're downloading the new software. So, you know, or a lot of times I'll look at it like playing Tetris. You know, we clear the belief and the Tetris blocks are just clicking into place. So it's exactly
what it is. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean, I totally agree with that, you know, on a theoretical basis. I mean, I absolutely agree with that. You know,
well,
I
love doing it.
Body.
Body, soul, and mind.
Well, I always did it this way. I've always done it. So to find Vianna's modality and be able to kind of get certified in it and be able to do what I do, and I've always done this because I've always been a big prayer and I've always believed in healing. And I've always believed in God. And then I work with spiritual teams when I go into Theta. So I teach spiritual teams as well. So I kind of, we kind of all meet in the God space. And it's just cool to see how it happens. Yeah.
I mean, it really is interesting. How long have you been doing this?
You know, to be honest, I've, like I said, I've been doing it kind of my whole life. But the modality itself, I took her courses last year. And then it just took off because it was great to have a network that she's kind of already built, but I've been actually doing it for a long time. So, you know, because I'm really analytical. So to be able to, I always question clients about why they're behaving a certain way or what they're actually believing. So to be able to kind of, and then I would ask God to, you know, help them fix it. So to be
I think it's really interesting, Lisa, that I have you and CJ kind of instinctively together. And then, you know, I mean, because we all have this kind of intellectual way of approaching it, I think. It's sort of interesting. It's atypical in a way in our world.
Well, I think
it's different angles, but you know what? It all comes out to the same result.
Yeah, and I think you need to be skeptical. I mean, I'm a big believer in look at the physical or the skeptical way first. Make sure you eliminate any natural factors. And then you should go in after that. And if you have supernatural things going on, you know, even just on a psychic level or you're tuning in, after you've eliminated coincidences, you know, then you know, I totally believe in both. So I heard CJ.
Yeah, she sounds great. Sometimes I'm kind of a wet blanket to people. They go, dude, you're psychic. You're supposed to. And I'm like, well, you know, I think logically it would be this. They're like, wow. That's
yeah.
No, but
well, a lot of people don't think logical.
That.
I mean, a lot of people don't think logical. A lot of people want to go supernatural first, and there's like 80% of the time there's logical explanation.
Right. I mean, the Occam razor kind of odd. I mean, I think there is a kind of a – there's something causing it in most cases. I mean, there's something causing it in every case, but there's something that we can go, well, you know, the cat knocked the, you know, the iron off, and, you know, that kind of logic first. But the intuitive part of you, we can talk logic, but there's also the intuition. And that intuition I know is very strong with you. And so I'm going to throw this out to you. And I'm also going to throw it out to Donna, too. Same question for the two of you. I'm going to interview you both kind of concurrently. How did you integrate this intuitive thing when you were little? Because I got a sense that you both had it when you were little. How did you make peace with it?
We went to go first.
You go ahead, Donna. You go ahead.
Well, what happened with me is, I think everybody knows so far, is that I was 8 years old, and I had dreams that would come true. And at first I just thought, well, that's kind of weird. You know, at eight, you don't think anything about it. You don't know, you know, what's going on. And then my mom and dad came home, and I was crying just hysterically. And I said, my grandmother died. I said, Noni died. And that's Swiss Italian. That means grandmother. And I said, she died. It was my dad's mom. And he says, no, she didn't. And I said, yeah, she did. I go, she sat up and took a sip of 7-Up and laid down and died. So my dad, you know, goes over the phone, calls the hospital, and he says, I'm just checking on my mom, you know, so-and-so, and how's she doing? And he says, Mr. Moran, I hate to tell you this, but you know, this is what happened. And he goes, did she do anything, you know, before? Did she go in her sleep? What happened? And they said, strangest thing, she sat up, took a sip of 7-Up, and laid down and passed away. So my dad had this weird look at me, and my mom looked at me, and my mom is Native American. We got Allie went into that, right? And, you know, my mom's sweeping me up and running me in the other room, and she's trying to explain to me what a psychic is. And 8 years old, you don't know what that is. You know, I thought I was a witch. You know what I mean? I made that happen. And so I blocked it for many, many, many years because I thought I was doing something bad. Until one day I realized, you know what, this isn't bad. This is a good thing. This came from God. This did not come from Satan. You know? So I finally realized that, but that was a later age. At 8 years old, it scared the heck out of me. But I finally did grow into, you know, knowing that it was a good thing. It was like 12 years old that I actually really, you know, I tried to block my dreams, but it didn't work. I still had them. They still came true. You know, baby steps. When you're little, you have dreams and they come true. That's what I call baby steps. You know, and then it was like, you know, then you start looking at people, and you know exactly what happened in their life. You can tell them, yeah, they were abused, you know, by who and such. I mean, you know what I mean? And just, you know what I mean. And it goes on and on and on. And then later when I got my car wreck, this is where my mom was reading an article about it, and she says, people that have car, and they're in car accidents, and they hit their head, which I had 50 stitches straight down to my bone. And anyway, they get more psychic. And one day I'm in the grocery store, right? This is funny, and it's a true story. I'm just sitting there, and I'm not feeling too hot still, and I'm grocery shopping. I have a cast on my leg, and I'm just kind of tooling around. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, that's nice. They're talking to each other. That's really sweet, right? And I look up, and there's nobody there. I'm going, okay. So I moved around. I started looking at other people, and they go, man, I hate those jeans on her. And I look down, and they're talking about me. I'm going, oh, my gosh. So I go home to my mom. I go, how do you turn this off? You know, and so she told me how to turn it off. But you know, that was a true story, really, honest. And now I know how to turn it off. I don't want to know. It's none of my business.
And Lisa, what was that process like for you when you were young trying to integrate? I mean, when it first starts for all of us, I mean, it's all kind of unique to all of us, right? I mean, I'm sort of prejudging that you probably have this, and if I'm wrong, tell me. But,
you know,
but I'm curious what...
The way it worked for me personally is I had a very... I moved around a lot as a kid. I had, you know, and I think a lot of people that are really intuitive or psychic tend to have backgrounds where we live through a lot because we're going to have to use it later. And
I
agree.
Mm-hmm.
I was also...
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, and then I was, I mean, I think everybody lives through a lot, but I don't know, the psychics I've met have lived through a lot. So
mm-hmm.
What happened also with me is my mother was extremely Pentecostal, extremely. I mean, I was raised that way. We went to church 3 times a week, and I always believed in angels, so, and I believed in God, so I always had that foundation. But what really happened is I always had the knowing, because I'm claircognizant first. That's kind of how I started. So when you look at my personality, I'm very, I'm Aries, like, all the way. So I'm very controlling. I tend to be very direct and blunt. And when you're growing up like that, you're just a know-it-all. And you don't really kind of, I mean, I knew things. I would be able to know people's reactions. I would be able to see events. I've always seen things 5 steps ahead. So I've always been able to analyze, which I thought was analyzing the way things were going to play out. And I would always see the end result within a split second of something happening. But I never really, I always knew that I could do this. I knew it was a little odd, but I tried, you know, with being raised so religious, it was evil. You know, like all of that stuff was evil and Satan, like you said. So I always kind of chopped it up to kind of just being really smart and multitasking. You know, it was always kind of that, you know, I could see the dead people. I would be able to feel the spirits when I got into the room. When I was in my teenage years, I met my guardian angel when I was 16, and he came down to flesh, and I knew it was him. And that stuff to me, though, being raised in such a religious home, was normal. So I had almost this beauty of having it expected to have miracles in my life. And it was just always, you know, sometimes religion can get really extreme. I totally get that. But to expect miracles and good to come into your life and to kind of grow up that way, even though you have all this craziness in your life going around you and moving a lot, and you, there's always that faith. So I really, really always, I've always been able to tell you what's going to happen. But to me, it was always the way I was. And it was kind of just thinking that I was really smart. I was able to plan things really well. It was almost like I was able to see it happen because it was common sense to me. And that's kind of how I played it out. But then once I started realizing I was almost predicting events with kind of regularity here. I just kind of grew up that way. I just kind of expected it. And I have never expected any less. I've always been, you know what, this is a gift, and I'm able to do it. And I have Native American background as well. My grandmother's half Cherokee.
Mine
so
too.
So it's really, I mean, it's really ingrained.
Mine's three, so
yeah,
all good.
It's just, you just kind of know it in your bones, you know, and you just sit there and you expect to be, you know, I was surprised when not everybody could do it. Like when I actually, a few years ago, I went corporate and I got a finance job and I had kids and a family and I just kind of went the normal route. You know, I had some scary experiences when in my party days, you know, because you're doing the drugs and alcohol and it really opens you up. So once I started seeing actual things that I got a little scared of, I kind of shut it down for a lot of years. But I still had that claircognizance where I was doing really well at work because I was always able to predict where to go. I just use it for my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to, well, you know, about 3 or 4 years ago, Archangel Michael kind of started showing me some signs that, okay, you need to get back to work. And I just started taking some workshops here and there, and I was really good at it. And I people kept saying, you're really good at this. And I'm like, you know, everybody's good at it. Everybody should expect to be able to talk to their creator. Everybody should be able to know that they can talk to their spiritual team because it's a gift that we kind of all have. We're just not all open to it.
There's
a question in the chat room.
I'm sorry.
Yeah?
Go ahead, Donna.
I was brought up in a Catholic household. I even had to go to Catholic school, so I know what you're talking about, the structure, the foundation. And it's not so much that I go to church anymore. I'm very spiritual, very spiritual. And I know that my gift is from God, and I give all the glory to God gives me this gift. And I don't take it for granted. And a lot of people take it for granted, like, oh, well, you know, I just have it. Well, no, you don't just have it. You know what I mean?
No, I think there's definitely a use for it. I think we all have it, and I think some more than others, and I think some have the life purpose of being here to use that gift. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's varying degrees of it. I think that some have it more than others, and some can, you know, enhance it more than others, and some don't want to. And that's fine, too. But I really do feel the glory should always be to God. I mean... You know, and I think that if not, he stops, you know, I always say, if I don't tell you the truth, then they stop talking to me. Because I've tried it. I've done a couple times.
Well,
here.
I mean, a lot of people probably know that I mailed mine back. I didn't want any part of it. You know, I was on television in my early 30s, and I quit, and I said I would never. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of anything that will ever make me come back. Well, I guess that just shows what little I knew at the time. But I tried to, it wasn't I didn't want to be psychic, I didn't want to be bothered, I didn't want to be a public psychic. And so I kind of went into seclusion for a long, long time. And I think, you know, that gets into a lot of questions about, you know, who's driving what train. And when I was younger, I looked at it as a skill, and I believed that everybody could do it because I could do it. But I don't look at it as like a skill in the same way. I do look at it more as a gift, and I don't have the same kind of idea about everybody being able to do it the same way either. But there's a question that was in the chat room, and I think kind of an interesting question, and that is how did your parents, based on your religious background, how did they deal with this when it began to dawn on them that this was happening?
You know, my mom, even though she's very religious, she's always really wonderful because she's always just kind of accepted, well, we could all do this, you know, in my family. It was just kind of like my grandmother used to know things, you know. And coming from, again, Ohio, a small town in Ohio, my grandmother was Canton.
Oh, I'm from Canton. I've been to the Hall of Fame. I know that.
My grandmother.
I had a grandmother that lived in Ohio. She lived to be 102. No, 103.
Ohio's the theme today. Yeah, my whole family's still back there, but it was... It's so funny because it just wasn't spoken about, you know, and it was just accepted. It was just kind of, oh, well, grandma knows things or, you know, and then the females, my mother doesn't really experience the gift. It's like it skipped a generation, it feels like, but she just knew it was okay. And she's always, you know, she goes from God. It's a gift from God. And she's always been like, well, it's almost like a pride there where I'm actually acknowledging it and trying to use it, which is cool, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know what's funny? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, my mom is very psychic also, and she doesn't want anything to do with that. She goes, oh, I'm not psychic. But then she'll say something, and like 5 minutes later, it'll happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, Mom, Do you realize we just, I'm not psychic. She doesn't know anything to do with it. But I tell you what, this lady is psychic. I mean,
yeah.
That's why she knew what I was doing bad all the time, where I was, what I was doing, you know? I was like, I hated that. I really it wasn't fun.
I remember when I was in high school, a friend of mine had a mother who was extremely psychic, and he had told us, well, she's psychic. But like I said, for me, I knew I was doing this, but I didn't really show it off or anything. I just kind of, you know, thought it was weird. I didn't want to be, because I was going to youth groups, you know, so you didn't want to be stigmatized. So you just know when you're supposed to keep it quiet. And I remember we had gone around about, had a wild evening, and we had kind of stopped off at a police station because something had been lost. It was nothing major. And then we went back to his house. And I remember his mother was sitting in the chair and he goes, oh, I'm sorry we're late. And she's like, oh, I know, the police station. And everybody else was freaked out by it, but I was like, I want to do that. I was like, I want that. I want to be that good, you know? And I remember thinking from that point on going, I was craving how to be able to get that specific. Because I figure if
you're
going to do it.
Yeah, I was kind of like that too.
You should know, you should be specific. I mean, if you can get specific hits, you should try to do it because it validates, and you never know what you're receiving isn't for somebody else's benefit to validate something, you know, and it gives it meaning. So a lot of times, you know, I hear a lot of watered down psychics, and I sit there, you know, because I understand it, totally get it. They're being general so they can be safe. But I look at it like, you know what, if I'm going to go out there with this, and I'm going to go for it, you know, and I'm going to help people. And the only way you can really do that is by delivering the messages you get.
Yeah, I'm sort of famous, I think, for dangling on that edge of being trying to be specific. I mean, I throw a lot of stuff out there, you know, make very public types of things. In fact, that's a good segue for tomorrow. Just tomorrow I'm doing a show with the psychic twins, Terry and Linda Jameson. It's actually going to be Terry and Linda and I doing predictions. We're going to talk about predictions that we see coming up. You know, Terry and Linda have been on Tyra Banks and a lot of people, and we're going to talk about what we see sort of on the horizon. And they're actually going to make some predictions on air tomorrow that they haven't made public,
cool.
So it should be kind of interesting tomorrow. How do you two feel about taking some callers? Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
I'm up for it.
So what I'm going to do is walk back in. I kind of walk back and forth. I'm going to walk back in, and I'm going to take a caller, and I'm going to, believe it or not, I'm going to be mute as a stone. I'm going to let you handle this. I'm just going to, this will tax my.
We can do this together.
That's right.
So, the area code 702, I'm glad you're patient. How are you? Are you there?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey,
yes, hi.
Hi, what's
your name again?
My name?
Mm-hmm, who are we speaking with?
Oh, my name is Shamina.
Shalina?
Hi, Shalina.
It's pretty, isn't it? Okay. So
well, my nickname is Shedda.
And can you speak up just a little bit? Your nickname's what?
Oh, I said, well, my nickname is Shedda. My mom gave that name.
Sugar. Oh, okay.
Everyone kind of forgot about my real name.
So what did you have? What did you want to know today?
Okay, my question is regarding relationships and I guess love too. I recently reconnected with someone who I was used to be really in love with, and we started speaking, and our connection is stronger than before. I want to know what do you guys feel on this regarding relationship or a good friendship?
Okay, let's start with the guy first, the one you're seeing right now. Okay? How long have you been seeing him?
Well, we were friends for about, like, 5 years, but we kind of always wanted to go to the next level. We were intimate, then we ended up in a relationship for about a year. We stopped talking for about 7 months, and now we're speaking again. And it is a woman. I am a lesbian.
It's a what? A woman thing? Does he keep going back and forth to you? It's like he goes back and forth and runs hot and cold? Is that what's going on?
I wouldn't say that. Well, we were really close for about 5 years. That wasn't back and forth. And then we got into a little argument and we stopped speaking for a while.
Okay.
And now we're speaking again after a few months. Yeah, because I moved too. So.
Okay. So what about this new guy? You've known him forever and you were in love with him. And he was in love with you, right?
Yes.
Okay, and now it's only level and it's understanding, and you've been actually kind of seeing him also, right? As well as the other guy.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
You want to take this? Are you seeing both guys at the same time? That's all I need to know. Yes?
No, it's only one person, and it is a woman.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And pick that up. Okay. So the past ones come back into your life. I think the past one that happened and it let go, I kind of feel that she came back for a reason, and it's a good reason. And I feel like you guys are going to reunite you guys are going to be good together, better than you ever were before. You're going to get along better. It's going to be more of a relationship that you guys can talk and get along instead of arguing things out and screaming and yelling. This time you guys are going to be able to talk things out and get along. You know, does that make sense?
Yes, totally.
Okay, so, yeah. And who has the child here? Somebody has a child. Who is it?
She has a child. She has a child, yeah.
Okay, is it a boy?
Yes, she has a boy and a girl.
Okay.
They're a little older.
Okay. And so are you guys planning on moving in together?
Well, that's in my mind, but I haven't brought it out yet. I won't. I'm kind of waiting to see where it's going to go first, you know.
Okay. I know that you guys are going to end up moving in together. I really feel that very strongly. And I think that this relationship will be a good one for both of you. And this time, you're not going to run away from your problems. You're going to face them head on. And that's a good thing. It's an absolutely wonderful thing. And, you know, yeah. So there's definitely hope there. Good hope. Like, it's going to happen, so just hang in there and just, you know, don't try to push her too hard, because if you push her too hard, she's going to run in the other direction. So let her, you know, let her come to you in her own time. You know what I mean? Just gradually.
Well, speaking of pushing her too hard, we kind of had a debate over a freaking text, like, who was texting her. We had a debate, and then she hasn't called me, and I was like, well, I'm not going to kiss her butt, you know, so I'm just going to wait it out and see what happens. Is she, like, upset or whatever right now?
Is she upset because you didn't text her back? Is that what you're asking me?
No, we had a debate over texting. Like, we wasn't talking on the phone. We were texting each other. And it was, like, a kind of an argument, but it was, like, really on a different level because our connection is so much different now. It seems just way more stronger, but I was just asking you, like, because she hasn't texted me or called me in only a day and a half.
Okay,
she
only a day and a half. No, you guys will be back in, you guys will definitely be back in touch with each other. I don't know what anybody else feels on the panel here, but that's what I'm picking up. Anybody want to validate or not validate this, what I just said?
Yeah. It's Sugar, right? Sugar, can I call you Sugar?
Yes. Yeah.
I love that.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Sugar.
Okay,
thank
so.
You.
All right. Yeah, that was cool, Donna. You know what, Sugar? This is Lisa. And real quickly, how I work is I tune into your spiritual team. So we're looking at the angels and the archangels and what they have to say. And when you're talking about this friendship and relationship, is she in another state or another city?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm in Las Vegas, and she's in New York City. That's where I'm originally from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
living here for
And you're thinking about moving there, right? Is that what's going on?
A little part of me wants to move back, but I really want her to move here because it will be an amazing change for
okay.
her. Like,
you know what?
What
they're telling me and what they're showing me is that it feels like there's a little mini vacation coming up where you guys are going to just have fun. You guys aren't having
mm-hmm.
fun anymore. So what you need to do is if you can set up somewhere where you can have like a weekend or a long weekend together and really kind of iron out the details, because the issue that's happening, and I actually have I have your spirit guide coming forward, and he's telling me that what's happening is you guys aren't communicating about what's really important, and that's kind of why the argument came up, because you're going back
yeah.
and forth not wanting to piss each other off, you know, and you're
mm-hmm.
just kind of like trying to pussyfoot around everything, and you're like, you don't want to say
mm-hmm.
what really needs to be said. So even if you guys
yeah.
just get on Skype together and have a webcam and you look at each other and you can see the expression and the love in each other's eyes and really start loving and having fun again, try to plan a weekend in person together. And you guys need to figure out if you want to go forward with this, who's going to move? Who's going to go forward and who's going to be kind of practical about it? Now, I see that Is she not working or are you not working?
No, I'm not working right now. I'm going to school.
Okay cool. Because it feels like the person that's not working, they're telling me, can go visit. It feels like there's a break in there. And so if you're
mm-hmm.
not working and you have a break coming up in school, try to get like a good deal if you can afford it and go to New York and really check out where it is and what it is you want to do. Because the time right now of all of, you guys have been letting, what it's been a long time that you've been going through this, and nobody's really saying what needs to be said, so you're both always wondering, and you're always kind of just saying, you know what, I'm not sure where we're at, because you guys never see each other.
Right, and they pussyfoot around each other.
Yeah, so it's time to start thinking practical. On one hand, they're telling me you really need to just have fun again. So even if you guys get together for a weekend, go sightseeing, make it like a little mini vacation, and really enjoy each other and remember why it is that you guys liked each other in the first place, because you're both really fun people.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have fun, and then you can have that love will kind of reconnect, and then you guys gonna need to decide who's going to move, because this distance thing isn't working. It's not working.
No, it won't work.
No, it's definitely not.
Yeah, I mean, be practical about it. Yeah, be practical. If you need to do it in a year, do it in a year. But you need to have a date in mind, and you need to have a goal in mind. And you guys actually need to make the decision, because by not making the decision, it's almost deteriorating your relationship.
Yeah, I want to jump in there.
It's not
going to
really happen. You know, it's like a fantasy to you guys.
There's a bunch of people on the line, so what I'm going to do is I hope that this is helpful. And I want to thank you for calling in.
Totally.
We're going to
Bye, Sugar.
I'm jump back on.
Thank you so much, guys. I really
appreciate it. Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Welcome.
Great. So what I'm going to do, there's a whole bunch of people call in. That's beautiful. So what I'm going to do, that is actually a Skype caller. So Skype caller, again, if I can unmute you, which is always a – there we go. Skype caller, how are you? Hey, are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
No Skype caller. Pick up a 615 area code, would you, Angie?
There's not one there. So we've got a 786. 786, you are live. And who are we speaking
Hello?
With, please? Hello?
Hello?
And your name?
Anna.
Anna?
Anna?
Sienna.
Deanna.
Deanna, that's great.
Hi,
Deanna. Hi, Deanna.
Thank you.
What can
I help you with? Question was that I met this guy. His name is Joel. Like two, three days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure where his mind at, but I kind of like him, but I'm not sure if it's like relationship type or just like friendship type.
Can I start with this one, Donna?
You go.
You know what, Sienna? Is he a friend of a friend, or did you meet him at a party or in a group of friends?
Like, he said that, like, because, you know, he said that he knew my sister from high school or something like
yeah.
that.
Well, let me save you a lot of trouble, okay? the hot stuff is not there for you. Like, if you're looking at, he's going to really kind of spark your fire, I don't see it there. And I actually see someone coming in this summer, and it feels as though it's through a group of friends, because I see you all kind of hanging out together, and he's a friend of a friend. So I think you guys are just going to connect with your eyes, and it'll be that. I mean, it's just going to go. But, you know, it feels like he's trying to talk you into liking him, and you just know you don't. Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of, because, like,
yeah.
I would talk to him, and I'm like, no.
There's no kind of, honey. You know.
Yeah, maybe you know you don't know, you know?
But
you know if you like somebody you don't.
Yeah, I do see someone coming, and you know what? It's going to be there, that spark. So, you know, what do you get, Donna?
I feel like it's going to be, what's the next holiday coming? I always get them.
Fourth of July, Labor Day, or Memorial Day?
Which one's coming up?
Memorial Day.
I feel like it's going to be Memorial Day, like at a barbecue picnic, something like that, where your friends are all there, you don't know him yet, and your friend of a friend is going to bring him. And your eyes, like she said, your eyes are just going to meet, boom. He's going to get beeline over to you, and you guys are going to start talking and give him your phone number.
Yeah. I mean, I see that too, where it's, you know, and it could be, you know, it could be even a family event, but it's, you know, if it's not Memorial Day, it's 4th of July. It's definitely before then. I mean, it's,
okay.
I see it too, and I,
it's,
you know,
just,
have your number ready
close.
In your wallet. Have your number ready in your wallet.
Yeah. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, because I've been hurt in the past, and it's just like I just don't want to waste my time. That's why I called. I was like, you know what, let me call and find out, because I just don't want to waste my time.
Ask Archangel Michael to help you with that fear. I mean, you know, you have been burned, and I totally get that. But ask Archangel Michael to kind of let go of the last parts of that fear for you and go for it. And just kind of have confidence that not all guys are the same.
Yeah, but he's the strongest. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
He's everywhere at any time.
So does that help? Good luck with everything.
That helps a lot.
Okay. Have fun, girl.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure. Go for it.
Do you see school in my life? Because I've been trying to get into this school, and I wanted to know, do you guys see school?
I do see school, but I don't think it's the school that you've been trying for.
Yeah, absolutely. No.
I think it's a new school, and I think that you have to leave your options open, because the curriculum that you're trying to take is offered somewhere else that's more affordable, and there's actually a financial package that'll be better for you. So look a little wider. Yeah, look a little wider than the school that you're looking at.
It's funny that you say financial, because that school is expensive.
Yeah, you can get a lot of the same classes at a different school for much more affordable pricing and financial services.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see
it coming right now that she's going to school. I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. I didn't, yeah.
Good luck with everything. Have a wonderful time. It's going to be a good summer for you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
We'll take one more call here, and then we're going to talk again a little bit. We've only got about 20 minutes left. You two are rocking. So I'm being so good. I'm not saying I'm...
It's fun. You're doing
right.
So good, Andy. It's fun.
I can't believe you're being quiet, sweetie. I just can't believe it.
I know.
I'm shocked.
I know. It is amazing. So if I can only unmute again...
Are you on my cough syrup? You stole my cough syrup, didn't you?
Switchboard is like frozen. Oh my gosh,
that
I'm
happened
sure.
to me yesterday during my show. It dropped all my calls, and then I had to fill time.
we want our callers.
Wow. Well, this is crazy. It won't unmute anybody.
Let's ask Archangel Michael. Clear it. Hold it. Unhold it. There you go.
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, just please let us in.
I just shut the chat down. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Hold that thought. Will you two talk for a second?
Sure, we can talk.
You bet. So, you know, that was a really good reading. You know, I picked up that she wasn't going to go to school right away, but I didn't pick up that she was going to go to another school. You know what I mean? I knew she was going to continue her education, but I just didn't see where.
Yeah.
Here we go. What I did,
you
will be so proud of me.
I'm proud of you. We're proud of you.
I turned it off and turned it back on, and now I've unmuted. And So the person that I unmuted is actually in the 918 area code. So area code 918, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing today?
Excellent.
Pneumonia,
great.
Fine.
I'm sorry you have pneumonia. Have you tried doing the throat chakra thing?
Not yet, but I'm headed that way after this session. I'm going to go down and do pendulum, and I'm going to go try to get some healing.
And who are we speaking with, please?
This is Sharon.
Hey, Sharon.
Hey, Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Well, it must be relationship day because that's what I'm interested in. I'm not involved with anybody right now, but I'm ready.
Okay.
The last
so,
time you were with the, I'm sorry.
No,
go
ahead.
I just wanted to know last time she had a relationship. When was last time?
A while ago.
It's been about a decade.
Yeah, okay. So
it's been a long
time. You just kind of put yourself up in a little closet and built a wall up around yourself, right?
I tried to get out of the closet.
Huh?
He's getting out of the closet.
I tried to get out of the closet.
Yeah. Literally or figuratively?
Both.
Literally.
Both. Yeah, you know, that's what I was going to ask you. You know, it's always a delicate situation with, well, so who do you like?
Yeah.
yeah,
you
know
come
what,
out and say it, sweetie. There's nothing wrong with being gay, you know, nothing.
No. So can I start with this real quick, Donna, with her?
You bet. You go for it, sweetie.
Okay, cool. You know, a lot of it is, like Donna was saying, that you've been closed. And I think that with being closed, I have your angel spiritual team coming in kind of shoving you forward towards the phone to call us. They literally were like showing me a picture of pushing you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because you are ready to kind of, but you, when you're closed, you literally have your head down in grocery lines everywhere. You're not
a Cancer by chance. Are you a Cancer?
No, I'm Aries.
You're okay.
Aries, baby, all the way.
Okay.
Yeah. But what's happening is, you know, contrary to your Aries ways, you tend to really close up in public, okay? So you're actually not even open. I see you not even looking up and around to catch anybody's eye whatsoever, okay?
You're
so
afraid they might know.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that asking Archangel Michael for you as well, really asking him for help with this, and I keep seeing some sort of group, and I know it's a support group of some sort where, you know, you join in and you meet other members or you go to workshops and meet other members. And, the only thing I can attribute it to is I was in Weight Watchers for a long time. So they would, you know, or if like you're AA or somewhere like that where you kind of look around and get yourself into social situations with like-minded people. So if you can join a psychic development group or you could join some sort of group where you're actually in public, because I don't think you get out much. So,
no, I get out.
You know, it's about meeting people. So go to meetup.com, start looking at areas of interest, because I think you're going to, you know, you don't need to go online. I really do think that once you open that door to meeting someone, your angels are going to literally kind of trip her, drop her, and shove her your way, because they've
mm-hmm.
been trying to get her to you,
mm-hmm.
but you haven't even been looking up when you are
mm-hmm.
in public. So
I still tell people a lot, look up. You've been looking down. Look up. You can't see anybody.
Yeah, she's ready to come around, but you also, do you do things where you're really interested? I mean, I keep seeing support groups or I keep seeing workshops.
Well, I'm a massage therapist and I've been donating massages.
Okay, cool. That's cool. I mean, and then it's like if you go to classes that kind of interest you, like if you wanted to take, I keep seeing like-minded people because in your area it's really hard to find like-minded people with what you do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you need to go, I would go to meetup.com and I would start finding, you'd be surprised how many things are in your area that like I'll type in ghost hunting sometimes and you'll find ghost hunting groups, you'll find paranormal groups, anything you're interested in, energy healing groups, there's millions of them probably around you and you don't even really know. So
okay.
Then you just go there and you just kind of, one, you're learning what you like and then you're meeting like-minded people and then you realize you're not all alone in the world and then
right.
you start talking to people and then you meet
and
somebody.
She thinks she's all around and she's the only one, you know, no,
yeah.
you know.
I mean, I see your spiritual team drop kicking somebody your way as soon as you open that door.
Yep.
Wow.
Open the door, sweetie, open that door.
Yeah.
I'm throwing it open.
I mean, they're working for you. They're working for you. So that's what's really cool, because I think just admitting that you need that you're ready is half the battle. And I would really work with your spiritual team. Ask Archangel Michael to kind of help you with the fear of going in, because it's I do feel like a little bit of a fear as you go into new situations. So ask him to kind of bolster your confidence before you do that. And once you start meeting people and realizing that there are people in your area, it will really give you the confidence you need to start talking to them, and then you'll meet her.
All right.
Okay? But I do see her. I do see her coming.
All right. Well,
all right.
Thank you,
look
lady,
up, honey.
So
just
much.
Look up. Look up. Look up. Look up.
All right. Good
okay.
luck with everything. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, thanks.
Bye.
Is Andy still there?
You two are Andy snoring? Snoring, I actually thought, why should I talk when I have you two? I'm just going to let you
Oh,
two,
no.
Which is much
the
better.
The blabbermouth.
I know,
no,
I talk too much.
We're being good.
No. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Lisa, One more time, if you don't mind, let people know how they can find you on the Internet.
Yeah,
and,
I'm at, lisabeachy.com. It's real easy, and then I'm on Facebook like crazy. As you know, I'm addicted, so I call it my Facebook.
I just started Facebook, so I don't know what I'm doing yet and how to find my friends and all that, so I'm a newbie.
I'm addicted, man. You'll have to sign up Donna as a friend.
I'm signed up as DJ Donna Miranda. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I do.
I'll send
DJ
and Lisa to you, so you can invite them to be friends. I will suggest them to you. I know how to do that. I have that knowledge.
We could talk forever.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on there all the time on Facebook, and I always do my weekly messages through there, and I have a great group called... Oh, Eric is so funny. Eric's in the chat room, and he's like, tell them about the new forum. I just created a new forum on my website where I have, thanks, Eric, and I have everybody just interactive, and it's lisabeachy.com. You go to the forum, and what we're doing recently is I'll focus on an object, and then everybody will try to remote view what the object is, and we all give our input in one of the discussion threads, and we do a whole bunch of different discussion threads.
That's cool.
So people can... Yeah, I just wanted people to be able to interact and have fun and test their skills, and we get to talk about angels and all that other stuff. So
you know, Lisa, you're the first one that does readings like I do. I've never met anybody else. Yeah, you're the only one that I've ever met in all my years of reading that you read like I do.
Well, I gave up because when I first started doing this, and it's funny because we were talking about how we started – I never had a lot of readings when I started, and I tried not to, because people would always offer you. You know, you start doing this, and people want to trade, and they want to do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to because, one, I felt intimidated. Like, I didn't know that I would be the same. And then also, I didn't want to lose my style, you know. I just kind of wanted to – I didn't want to have anybody else's way to do things.
My best friend didn't even know. My ex-husband didn't even know I was psychic. I told no one.
I just figure it should be like a conversation, because I get the images and everything so fluidly that I try to, and I don't remember readings when I hang up with someone. It's like channeling information. A lot of times I don't remember what I've told them as soon as I hang up.
I do that too. You want to hear something funny, Lisa? I was going through a divorce, right, and he called me up and he was drunk one night, and I knew exactly every move he made, and he goes, do you have a private detective following me? He goes, how do you know every move I make?
I know. It's like,
you know, of course,
that's
been a problem for me, too. I actually used to date a woman who was sort of a celebrity, right? So, like a minor celebrity, right? So I dated her, and, you know, she has, like, a MySpace page. So I looked on her MySpace page one day, and I saw somebody else who's also sort of minor celebrity, and the boy's name lit up to me, which it often does when, like, somebody's, like, knees bother him. So I called her, and I said, you have something going on with this guy. She said, what are you talking about? I go, his name lit up to me. She's like, what are you talking about? You're following me. I'm like, you know, I'm, like, here, and she's someplace else, right? So it's like, it's weird. I mean, it's always, you sort of, like, it jumps out. in whatever way that is. For me, the name had a different energy. You see a different
mm-hmm.
energy, whatever. I mean, it's like when they do, like, missing persons, you can tell when somebody's dead, there's a different kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Light
yeah.
up to me. So that's all, people will always go, well, you're, like, spying on me. I'm like, no, I'm not, you know.
Isn't that funny? You're spying on me. Stop it. I'm going to call the police on you. I'm like, go for it. Nobody follows you.
I think
you.
That makes it tough for relationships. I mean, I do think it makes it tough because what happens with me typically is I become the therapist. And,
yeah.
you know, I become the answer to everything, and then it kind of takes away that kind of spontaneity in the beginning.
That's why I think psychics
really,
should date psychics. You know what I mean? Really.
I don't know, though. I don't know about that either.
Well, no, because you know what? That way, sometimes you don't even have to talk. Think about that one.
That's true. Well, see, I've
yeah,
been
but then
married.
That takes a lot of fun out of it, too, you know, so.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
I've been married for 18 years, and I
Good
have.
Good for you.
Yeah, yeah, I love him, and we're completely opposite. We're completely opposite, and I, you know, but at the same time, we're completely accepting, you know.
Right,
so
right.
I think that what it is it's a matter of learning when to keep your mouth shut, but you can get that telepathic connection just over time,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I,
sure.
you know, it's so, I sit there, you know, I think that, my best friend, we call each other, she'll go stalker, you know, because I'll just know something. So she'll be like, stalker. And I'll be like,
yep.
yeah, that's it. You know, I'm a psychic stalker. What can I do?
Yep, exactly. The psychic stalkers.
Yeah, I try to turn it off. I'm pretty good at turning it off. I learned over the years how to just turn it on and off when I'm working.
Wasn't that hard to do? That was for me. It really was hard to turn it off because I'm nosy.
I just don't want to know. See, that's what it
yeah,
is. Sometimes
they don't.
I'll be like, it's none of my stuff. I don't want to know.
Yeah, me either.
I tend not to unless I actually look. But like I say, in this particular instance, it was, this was like a MySpace, you know, like a music thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the letters in the name, and this happens to me a lot. You know, you can tell, like, different kinds of shorthands.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it just sort of came up, you know. It wasn't like I mean, it's like carrying on a conversation, and I just sort of like,
well, yeah, you'll
get
hits
your mouth,
for sure.
Comes out.
Yeah, you'll get hits. I mean, and I think that, you know, and what's really bad is when you get a hit and you ignore it, you know, and you're like, darn it, I knew that, but you don't want to know sometimes, you know.
That's right.
So, I mean, I understand.
Yeah,
that
I mean, I think I really do think on the relationship side, it makes it complicated. At least it has for me. And that maybe it's just me, but eventually people think I know everything, which of course I don't, and it makes it kind of weird because
yeah.
I definitely don't know everything. But it gets into a weird kind of dynamic. I want to talk real quick because we're just about out of time about what we're going to do tomorrow, and that's with the twins, with Terry and Linda Jameson. So if you are interested, everybody, again, stop back tomorrow. We're just doing a real quick show for an hour. With Terry and Linda and me, and we're going to talk about our predictions. Terry and Linda were really, I think, the only psychics who publicly on air predicted 9/11. You know, they did that a few years in advance. And they've done a lot of shows.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Tyra Banks, they've been on, you know, the George Norrie show, and they've been on a lot of different shows. And so it'll be the three of us kind of talking about what we see on the horizon. You know, I make a lot of predictions, too, about the economy or the floods or whatever. So we'll be getting into what we've done historically as well as what the three of us see on the horizon. So I think that should actually be kind of an interesting show. On Thursday, we'll be back kind of on a normal show, and so that should be kind of fun. But,
am I here tomorrow? Am I there tomorrow?
No,
I'm not there tomorrow?
Not tomorrow. It's just going to be the three of us tomorrow. We're going to do it fast and furious.
Okay.
And then on Thursday, we'll be back like we normally do.
Oh, good. So I can take a day of rest.
Take a day of rest. And Lisa, one more time, lisabeachy.com, and how else can we find you?
I'm on Facebook. I have a fan page on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, so you can, you know, go find all those through my website, and I'm always active on all of them. So I do everything through it. I take calls. I log in occasionally, and I take reading calls, or you can set up in personal sessions with me as well for theta healing
cool.
and for readings. Yeah.
Hey, Andy, I have something to tell you. I hate to interrupt, but I keep getting texts from everybody around all over the place, and they're saying that they're enjoying the show immensely, and they're learning a lot, and this is one
but
of our best shows that we've done.
Bored, beanless, be mad at us, so that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that.
No,
and,
I just gotta let you know.
On Thursday, we're going to have a woman I've actually never talked to. Her name is Nicola McMillan. She's not only a medium, but she's also a really incredible artist. So, and she's from England, so that should be kind of cool. So that's on Thursday. And for me, it's rockandrollpsychic.com, rockandrollpsychic.com. And Donna, how can people find you?
Oh, I don't know. I'm all over the place now. You can get a hold of me at DJ, DAWNAMORANDA, long name. I had to shorten it somehow, at yahoo.com, or I'm on Facebook now under the same name. So look me up, and I'd love to chat and all that kind of stuff.
And I want to say a very special hello to an old friend of mine. Let's see if he's still here. He is. So, John, I want to say hi to you. Aquaman, we used to have a show called the Social Justice League with John and Ronegade, Ron Jordan, and me. And so I've been thinking about John a lot. You know, if you think about somebody a lot, think about him a lot, they'll pop up again. So this is a very happy... John, I'm going to call you in about 5 or 10 minutes. So, and that will be an interesting conversation. Because whatever I say about the economy and floods, oh, my gosh, it's just like a serenade, like a lullaby to what John will say about the oceans. it's so true. I love John. Oh, God, I do. What a guy, truly. So, everybody have a week, 15 minutes left. I'm not going to take any more callers. But we just want to talk again real quick about the work that you do with Theta Healing. I think it's fascinating, and if you would just kind of walk us through again sort of what that's like for you and what that process looks like. We got about 2 minutes.
Well, for the Theta Healing, if anybody wants to, you know, basically what we do is we kind of zero in on what the beliefs are that may be holding you back, and then we clear each belief. If you go to my website, you can see on my Theta Healing recorded downloads page, and you just, you know, you're basically clearing all of the software in your brain that no longer serves you, the spyware, all the viruses. And then we're asking, as I go up into Theta space, I witness as the creator downloads the new programs and the positive beliefs so that we can kind of reprogram our thinking and reprogram our beliefs. And at the same time, it reprograms our lives and we're able to just function much more fluidly. And we're able to manifest that much more powerfully without having those, you know, belief blocks in the way. And Theta Healing is a modality created by Vianna Stiebel, and it's thetahealing.com. If anybody wants to learn any more, I don't teach classes myself, but there's always practitioners in the area near you if you want to take it yourself. I highly recommend it because to be able to do this modality, even just for yourself or for others, it can be a real gift. And it can really help people start creating new lives if you can clear away the beliefs that are just kind of cluttering your mind, you know. I'm a big believer in that.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come and hang with us and talk with us.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. I always have fun. I had so much fun this time and last time with Allie and Donna.
That's good.
I had a lot of fun with you. You're great. That was I love doing readings with you.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. Thank you. It's always a good time.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Andy's doing a show again. He had a break in there for a while.
Yeah, you know, I was making a bunch of movies. It was kind of weird. It's kind of fun now. I was in L.A. kind of an interesting experience playing like, a little background boy in movies. It looks like I'm going to be in another one here in a week. That'll be kind of fun. tomorrow, the twins and me at noon Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern. Again, LisaBeachy.com, RockandRollPsychic.com. Special hello to John Kohler, Aquaman. Can you call here in just a few minutes? Donna, I hope you're feeling better. Thank you,
Judy.
Yep. Line in the cough syrup and.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, you know what? I love that stuff. I hope I don't get you hooked. That's like I say. Too good to be true.
You'll feel better.
Everybody
feel
have a great week. We have got 11 seconds. So everybody say bye.
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 Thank
bye-bye,
you.
Everybody.
Bye, everybody.
We will see you tomorrow.
Thank you, guys.